Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
Hello, America, and good Saturday. You know, Mike Carter is my guest here. Actually, he's a host here at Pirate Money Radio. Mike, how are you doing today?
Great. Great to be here Saturday. Although there's lots in the news to talk about today.
Yeah, there's a lot of disturbing things, you know, and I feel like we've done a few of these radio broadcasts, and I feel like we've dealt with a whole lot of bad news. That's kind of what we're facing in America these days, I guess.
We have, but there's always good news in every show that we do, whether it be radio or on Economic War Room. So that's the great news.
It is. There is good news. But on the other hand, you pick up, well, nobody picks up a newspaper. I say pick up a newspaper. You don't do that anymore. You go online or you turn on a podcast or radio or TV and you hear all these bad things that are going on. It feels like, or does it feel like, everything's falling apart?
It definitely feels like it. And you know, we've been through these times before, but what I think is a little bit different. I remember as a kid watching the news and there was some Vietnam stuff. And it was different there. I still felt like there's some patriotism there. Today, and I remember telling my mom, well, why don't we have killings and wars and stuff in the U.S.? And she goes, well, America's blessed that way. It's starting to feel like that's happening here, though. It's a little different today.
Yeah, it does feel like the blessing is slipping away a little bit. Hey, but we have two key scriptures for today. Number one is 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. How does that impact you?
That gives me great peace as we use the scripture and we know that he's ultimately in control.
And if we know we're getting a spirit of fear, we know it's not coming from God.
Mm-hmm.
But the second scripture, Proverbs 27:12, and this is actually in two different Proverbs, but the one I'm quoting here is 27:12. The prudent person sees danger ahead and prepares for it, but the fool goes blindly on and suffers the consequences.
Man, and I think that is a verse for today because I hear so many Christians, Kevin, saying, oh, you know what? I'm not going to worry about any of this stuff. I'm just going to wait for the rapture because I think it's going to happen tomorrow. But that's not what we're supposed to do. We don't put bury our head in the sand and just say, well, God's going to rescue me. He will, but there's a certain amount of things that we need to be doing as well.
That he expects us to do. And we may be the rescue he's chosen for somebody else.
Yeah.
If we're prepared, we can be used by God to help somebody else in dire need. You know, the other side of things, though, apart from God, and if you've got that spirit of fear, it's very easy to turn into a prepper.
Yes.
A lot of preppers around, aren't there?
There are a lot of preppers. And as we like to say, there's a difference between being a prepper and being prepared.
Oh, exactly. The Bible tells us to be prepared, but we can't put our trust in guns or food that we've stored or anything else. Mm-hmm. Our trust, you know, I think of Elijah, for example. They had a famine in the land, and God sent him by the brook, and he got fed by ravens. Whenever God has people, he has a place of provision for them, and he'll make that provision if we're obedient. But let's talk about some of the problems that we have, and maybe an action plan for emergencies, because emergencies do happen. Did you see that movie about the tidal wave, the tsunami that hit?
One in Japan.
It wasn't in Japan, but it was in somewhere in the South Pacific. But a tidal wave hit, and it was a family trying to find each other after the tidal wave.
No, I don't think I saw that.
I don't remember the name of it. It was an impactful movie, though. I mean, occasionally we'll run into floods or serious problems, shootings at school or whatever. Are we prepared for those?
I'd like to say we are, but in general, no. We had our cell phone network go down for half a day about a month ago, and it was a feeling of, what do I do now? How do
and
I
there,
get in touch
and
with people?
And there was no life-threatening aspect to the cell phone being down.
Not at all. Now, luckily, I still had my phone was still active, so the numbers that I used to have memorized or I should have memorized, like close family and stuff, I could still find what those were without, you know, relying on memory. But I'm like, you know what? I don't really, if the phone went down, I don't even know if I'd have all my daughter's numbers memorized.
Yeah, you're talking landlines there. Well, here's a story that came out. UCLA protests. So UCLA, right in the heart of America, Jewish student beaten unconscious by pro-Palestine protesters. Did you see that story?
I saw the headlines, but I also watched the news and heard from the Biden administration that these are peaceful protests.
Oh, well, I watched the video that they showed, and this is News 9 Live com. You know, this is a local news affiliate there. And it's frightening to watch somebody just getting, why was she beaten? Because she was Jewish. The level of anti-Semitism going on at these protests on college campuses, that's scary. It reminds me of a flashback to the 60s and 70s.
Yeah, although I think, again, I think it's even worse because it reminds me of a flashback to Nazi Germany because this is literally pretty in-your-face anti-Semitic.
Yeah, no, it's a protest on a college campus, which was like the 70s, but you're right. It's like Nazi Germany because it's anti-Israel, anti-Jew. And now I saw this in Newsweek. Republicans blame China for pro-Palestinian college protests. That was April 24th. They're meeting in Congress, and they're showing evidence in Congress that the Chinese Communist Party has actually been producing social unrest here and funding Hamas-oriented organizations to create these anti-Israel protests on college campuses.
Well, I can't say that surprises me, thanks to some work you did about 10 or 11 years ago that maybe people are starting to wake up to now.
Yeah, it's something I reported on. It's in the book Unrestricted Warfare, which is a Chinese military doctrine, and they have at the end of their doctrine to cause social panic, street riots, and a political crisis. Taken straight from the book. Now, they talk about the combination method. They talk about using financial attacks and financial warfare. They talk about sneak attacks and burying computer viruses and taking over the traffic dispatching network and all of that. But they end with their end game is social panic, street riots, and a political crisis. And I'm telling you, that money is coming into the United States right now from the Chinese Communist Party funding these Hamas groups.
Yeah, I think I heard at Columbia, as they did the arrest, a small percentage of the arrests were actually students on campus. So they were outside activists that are coming in, rallying up these students and so forth.
Yeah, the students that are on campus, there's a term that the Marxists use regarding those students on campus. They call them useful idiots.
Not exactly the pedigree you want for an Ivy League institution, is it?
No. Not even for UCLA. All right, so this is all a part of George Soros-style tactics. The Chinese communists looked to George Soros, called it financial warfare in the book Unrestricted Warfare, and I've got here from George Soros a dozen years ago when he's talking about a coming U.S. class war. And here's a direct quote from an article. As anger rises, riots on the streets of American citizens are inevitable. Yes, 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 Soros says, almost gleefully. Mm-hmm. Who would think that there are people that want to see the great America that we've known in our lives torn down, taken down, and dismantled like this?
Yeah, well, like we said, we're in an economic war, but it's really a spiritual war. And when you see that type of enthusiasm around that concept or that idea, you can see there's just evil there.
Yeah, and this, you've heard a lot about George Soros. He wasn't famous 20, 25 years ago when I started researching him. He's very famous now. Glenn Beck's talked a lot about him, and you know, you just say the name George Soros, and the average person understands this is like Montgomery Burns' villain. Montgomery Burns referencing The Simpsons, really super wealthy guy that wants to run and control everything.
Yes, I'm not up on all my Simpsons stuff, but I'm sure there's something prophetic there that's going to tell us what's going to happen next.
Well, Simpsons did mention Donald Trump running for president before anybody else. They showed him coming down the escalator. I don't know if Trump saw that and decided, hey, I should run for president, or if they actually predicted it. But there are a lot of things the Simpsons have predicted, and they certainly have caricatured a George Soros type in the character of Montgomery Burns.
Yeah. Well, again, I'm going to go back to the research and the work you did in Secret Weapon and everything else where you predicted these types of things are going to happen, and we're seeing them happen today.
Yeah, Simpsons is more fun than my research. But anyway, I enjoyed sharing in the Pentagon, in the Defense Department, what economic warfare was about, what unrestricted warfare was about, hoping to wake our government up. It seems, unfortunately, that they didn't pay heed, but the American people are beginning to pay heed. They're paying attention. Mm-hmm. They've read my book, Secret Weapon and Game Plan and According to Plan, and the newest book, Pirate Money. So this is Pirate Money Radio, and what we're doing is preparing people to deal with these difficult things from a biblical perspective. Join us after the break, and we'll be back with more.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, and then Pirate Money Radio this morning, we're talking about why you should be prepared, but we're not trying to make people preppers. Not spirit of fear, but be prepared. According to Proverbs, it says that a wise man sees trouble coming and prepares for it. A fool goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. Mike, have you noticed the riots in France?
I have seen riots everywhere. It's part of that chaos out there. I'm just glad that our audience is part of the wise men that you talked about earlier as you opened up there, and not the fools.
Yeah, no, we're here to help you prepare for coming troubles, and there are a lot of them. One of the troubles that we've mentioned are these riots that we're seeing on college campuses, but the forerunner to those would be the riots that they've had ongoing for a decade or more in France. Mm-hmm. Here's an article. The France riots, another example of how Europe is committing suicide with what, Mike?
Immigration, a failed immigration policy.
Yeah, a failed immigration policy is one where you don't control your border.
I can't imagine that happening here, though.
No, we're safe. We're good on that. Now, here, let me read. Has France fallen because of its mass immigration policy? Is the question many raise in the wake of the riots that escalated all over France and plunged the nation into total chaos and anarchy. This incident that sparked these riots occurred after a French police officer shot and killed a 17-year-old Algerian Muslim during a traffic stop. Now, the next line is what? The anti-Semitic side of the riots. Weren't you saying that was what you noticed about the college campus riots here?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a common theme. I remember as a kid, I thought this could never happen again. And we warned it would never happen again. And it would defy all, it just didn't seem conceivable. And to see it happening in real life now, it just blows me away. But
This is foreign to Western civilization. I mean, I believe, had matured beyond this. But what happens when you have mass immigration without assimilation? Now, it was tumultuous to assimilate all of the people from Europe. And I'm not trying to just go on my Cherokee roots and saying everybody here is an interloper. We're glad to have people coming to America from all over the world. Not so much with people walking across the border illegally, not going through the proper process, not respecting our laws. And when they come here and they want to only maintain their culture, I don't mind people maintaining. I think maintaining your culture is a good thing. You watch a movie like My Big Fat Greek Wedding and you see that there's a unique culture to the Greek people. There's a unique culture to the Irish, which is where half of my family came from. Unique culture to the Germans and so forth. Absolutely maintain those, but be part of America.
Yeah, well, that's the awesome part about traveling is those unique cultures, unique foods, unique things that you can learn and really enhance your life with. But what we've gotten away from is that melting pot. It used to be, I remember in grade school talking about those cultures coming together, but we had a common vision around America, a common vision around what we talk about all the time, liberty, security, and values. And now you can throw out all three of those in some of these cultures.
But you also have, for example, some terrific people coming there. Look up the Nigerian population here in the United States and how successful they are. Look at Asian countries and how successful they've been. When they come here and want to take advantage of the free market, the free enterprise, the Judeo-Christian values, those people coming here, they add so much to society and really should be welcomed with open arms, but they came here legally. They came here, respecting our culture and laws and saying, hey, I can add to and enhance your culture. Somebody that comes here with the idea of yelling for Israel to be wiped off the face of the earth, I'm sorry, I'm not so much in favor of that. Now we're going to looking at President Biden with a plan to bring in Gazan refugees. And this is the New York Post. This is May 1st. They call that a national security insanity.
Wasn't it President Obama that says, no matter what, Biden is sure to screw things up? And I'm not necessarily an Obama fan, but this seems like it's right on track with that.
Well, it's either that or it's according to plan, because he has allowed 7.2 million illegals to enter the United States under the Biden administration, amount greater than the population of 36 states. In fact, this year alone, it's projected that more people than live in New Mexico will illegally come across our border with the help of the United States government. How could that be?
No assimilation, and we're providing housing, and we're providing gift cards, you name it. It definitely
cell
appears
phones,
according to plan.
Transportation. You want to get on an airplane and you're here illegally, you don't even have to have an ID. And by the way, you can change your name if you want to. They'll check you once to see if you're on a terror watch list, if that. And once they let you in, what name do you want to be called by? And then they'll let you on a plane. And where's your ID? Any one of us is asked for ID and we say, I don't have one. They say that you don't fly.
Exactly.
Unless you say that I'm here illegally and the Biden administration said I could fly.
Yeah.
It's frightening. You know, there's a new book out by Phil McGraw, Dr. Phil. You know that Dr. Phil?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's titled, We've Got Issues, How You Can Stand Strong for America's Soul and Sanity. Here's the Dr. Phil that was dealing with people and having trouble with their mother or coworker or whatever. He's tackling some real issues now. He's going to the border. He's looking at the debt. He's looking at a lot of things. I got his book because he just moved close to where we're filming or where we're producing this radio show.
Close to our studio here. What an amazing facility. That place was incredible.
Yeah. Mike and I had a tour. Private tour with several of our colleagues through the new Merritt Street facilities. And Dr. Phil had moved his studio from Paramount, which I'd visited in 2020, here to Texas, and then enhanced it. It's even better than that. That is one of the most amazing things I've ever seen in little sleepy city in Texas.
It's good to see what God is doing in different pieces he's bringing together for, I think, which will be a great plan someday. And what they're trying to do at Merritt Street Media, impressive. I mean, really trying to create a family network that will get some of these focused around liberty, security, and values, the issues that Dr. Phil's talking about in his book.
Yeah, no, he's covered it really well. It's a well-written book. I strongly recommend it. Maybe we'll have Dr. Phil come on Pirate
That'd
Money Radio sometime.
We were on the plane the other day. You pulled that book out, and we just talked about, Dr. Phil's great, but the audience is probably just older people like us. I wonder if the younger people will get it, because we really need them to hear that, those that are on these college campuses, and they see all this turmoil going on. And the flight attendant walks by, sees the book. She goes, I just bought that for my son.
Yeah.
So.
No, actually, I talked to my daughter about it, and she said, Dad, that's one of the most prominent memes that you'll find out there is Dr. Phil saying, how's that working for you? So the young people know Dr. Phil. He's got a strong and powerful voice. He's respected. So I really admire his willingness to take on the tough issues.
Yes, yes.
So we do that. We take on the tough issues here at Pirate Money Radio. And in our books, According to Plan is a perfect example. When you open your borders and bring people across, it's going to cause debt problems for your nation. It's going to cause potential riots. It's going to cause all the... Guess what? According to Plan goes back to that unrestricted warfare notion. It's called immigration warfare. It's right there in the book that the Chinese colonels, right there. Unrestricted warfare. They talk about immigration warfare. But that's not all the things that we're facing. We're facing a massive debt. Look at that debt clock. Just watch it roll. $34.7 trillion, $103,000 debt per citizen. You know, when I wrote the book Pirate Money in June 24, 2023, so less than a year ago, that was a $32 trillion debt. Now it's almost $35 trillion.
It wasn't that long ago when we first started doing economic war room. I think we were right around 20. 20
yep.
trillion.
A little over 20 trillion. Oh. And that's the scary thing is, in fact, the Congressional Budget Office says we're going to have to borrow $1 trillion in the next 3 months. But it's not just debt. We've covered it here on Pirate Money Radio, inflation. And Americans continue to name inflation as a top financial problem. And then there's food security, where people are food insecure, either because of the cost of food or maybe there's shortages of food. If you've noticed that COVID, there were a lot of shortages of food that popped up because farmers now trying to conform to these new EPA regulations and all the climate change regulations and so forth. And we did a great program on that. Do you remember that? On food, it's going to cost the average home $1,300 more a year just to meet those climate rules. Nothing else.
Yeah.
Nothing else, just following the climate
rules.
Well, we
had that natural asset bill, which was trying to restrict farmland and how that could be used here in the United States. Luckily, that was voted down, but it's still kind of popping up. in different states on a state-to-state basis now. Again, this doesn't happen unless it is happening according to plan, and we need to be aware of it. And this is where, as we look at moving from not being preppers, but being prepared if something does happen, and being prepared in terms of being proactive to stop these things from happening.
Yeah, and the government, I'm very concerned about, because it has been released in congressional hearings that the government was looking at purchases at Cabela's and Bible stores because they thought that anyone buying a Bible or a hat at Cabela's might be a potential domestic terrorist. And they're not looking at Hamas, who's having these riots on campuses, because that would be racist and Islamophobic, but they're absolutely looking at Bible purchases. This is the kind of crazy world in which we live, where everything is upside down. Here's a direct quote. It says, "Nowadays, the feds are targeting people who purchase Bibles and other media containing extreme views." That was congressional testimony in a House Judiciary Committee.
It's unbelievable. And, when I remember as a kid, Mom saying, someday they say that what's right will be wrong and what's wrong will be right. And I thought, how could that be? Just like we talked earlier, that anti-Semitism, how could that ever come back again? But yet we see those things daily in the news and in events that are happening.
We do. And we just run through this laundry list. People are worried about losing their personal liberties, whether or not you can drink more than 16 ounces of soda, whether or not you can plug in a light bulb or screw in a light bulb that you happen to have, or use a gas-powered stove, demand that you use an electric vehicle, and nobody seems to want these things.
No, the new thing now that we got rid of gas, now they want to control how your electric hot water heaters work.
Oh, it is crazy. And all the appliances are being looked at. All of these things under government control. At the same time, we're looking at the worldwide government, like the World Health Organization, with a pandemic treaty that would control not your doctor and you deciding health policy, not even your state deciding health policy, not even our nation deciding health policy, but the World Health Organization, led by a Ethiopian communist who's not a medical doctor.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, that's exactly what I want for my health care.
Yeah, so going on, there are other threats. There's this debanking threat. Did you see the Saturday Night Live where they said debanking's not a word?
What's debanking? Yeah, that doesn't exist.
Yeah, President Trump talked about he's going to stop it. Yo, yeah. Then you get debanked. Yeah. Or if you supported Trump and you were part of the trucker convoy. All of this laundry list of problems that we're facing, it continues to grow. But there is good news, and we will cover more on the good news after the break.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Hey, we open this program where God has not given us a spirit of fear, but the world sure seems to want to give us a spirit of fear. We've been walking through, Mike Carter and I have been walking through some of the laundry list of frightening things, like our massive debt, inflation, food insecurity, a weaponized government, the loss of personal liberties, the loss of sovereignty. Here's one, Mike, the debanking threat. We were talking about that, about how Saturday Night Live wanted to make fun of President Trump. They'd never heard the term debanking. Describe debanking.
Debanking is when you think you've got all your financial stuff finally in order and you're feeling pretty good about life, or maybe you're not, but all of a sudden you get a call and says you've got 30 days to get all your money moved out, or we're taking your money, and you are officially debanked. You cannot bank with us because we recognize that you might be a risk to our reputation for some reason.
And they won't even tell you what the reason is.
No.
And that's happened to Sam Brownback, a former United States senator and an ambassador appointed. It's happened to Nick Vujicic, the most sympathetic man on planet Earth. Mm-hmm. It has now happened to Indigenous Advance. Are you familiar with Indigenous Advance? You saw that show we did with Lathan, right?
Yes, yes.
That's in Uganda. They're helping people in Uganda. And they were accused of being a debt collector. What they do is they go in and help people in Uganda who are struggling. And one of the things they suggest is you ought to get out of debt. You don't want to be heavily burdened by debt. And so Bank of America said, wait, you're a debt collection group. So Lathan Watt, Alliance Defending Freedom. I guess it was Chase, maybe. Okay. I don't know. Bank of America, Chase. Alliance Defending Freedom stepped up and said, wait, this is not a risk to you in any way. They're not debt collectors. And this is all covered in testimony in the Judiciary Committee. And yet still, they have not returned their bank.
Yeah.
Banking capabilities.
So ministries can be debanked, and individuals can be debanked. Businesses are being debanked. I think I saw Franklin Graham, wasn't he at risk of being there? He got debanked as well, I believe.
Yeah, it's happening all over. And that was Indigenous Advance. That was Bank of America, actually. And Alliance Defending Freedom's working with them to try and get this worked out. But if you could lose your bank account, it sounds like something on a social credit score and something that would happen in China. Indigenous mm-hmm. Advance is a Christian ministry helping the people of Uganda. That's crazy. Then there's climate hysteria, where maybe you'll get debanked because you have too big a carbon footprint, unless, of course, you're Al Gore and you have a massive carbon footprint.
Or Taylor Swift.
And you get away with it because you're liked by the left. Mm-hmm. But the rest of us get punished for that. Speaking of climate hysteria, there is an article in the Telegraph in the United Kingdom. You know, outside America, there's a more free press, almost, it seems, than there is in America. The Telegraph is a UK paper, and it says climate hysteria is the greatest threat to mankind's survival. Not climate change, but climate hysteria, because it's causing us to make non-economic, dumb decisions so that we move to electric vehicles. What was that we heard about electric vehicles creating more emissions?
Yeah, they're saying just because of the weight of the car, that is the tire emissions, as the rubber wears off the tire, that causes more emissions than carbon dioxide cars.
Wow.
Now, I'm not seeing the science on that, but yeah. I know they're heavier cars. There's other things. There's always something.
They have to mine all the cobalt. They have to mine the lithium. They have, you know, the battery goes bad, and you buy a $40,000 car, and it costs $20,000 to replace the battery.
Well, they're probably just setting up to get rid of cars in general. Like, it has tires, so you can't drive it anymore. I don't care if it's electric, whatever it is. You got to take the train, and we'll tell you if you can get on or not.
Yeah, this notion, though, that you're responsible. You're the guilty one. You're responsible. You killed the dinosaurs. Well, I wasn't alive when the dinosaurs... No, you're causing climate change. You're going to kill everybody. I mean, that hysteria is a threat. Then we've got pandemics. We just had Dr. Peter McCullough here out mm-hmm. at Liberty Hawk. We did a great show with him. He's kind of a hero from the COVID days because he was doing early treatment of his patients and saving their lives.
Yeah, he spoke truth by practicing real medicine.
And he got blacklisted for mm-hmm. it and got kicked out of the hospital he was operating in and everything else. So, you know, these are all the bad things going on. The wealth gap is another one we've talked about since 1971 when we left the gold standard, or the semblance, tiny bit of gold standard we had. You know, that's why we taught Pirate Money Radio. Pirate money is about based on gold and silver. But in 1971, America abandoned any semblance of the gold standard. And from that day till now, the wealth gap has gotten severely worse. The middle class has shrunk. The wealthy have gotten wealthier. And the poor, there are more of them than there were back in 1971, which is kind of amazing.
After all the money we spent in poverty under Johnson, again, according to plan.
The war on poverty, yeah.
Wow.
It's you know, if you match up the amount of money we spent in the war on poverty with the amount of money we're in debt, they're very close.
Yeah.
We spent, close to $30 trillion in a war on poverty that has not helped, because once we left the gold standard, the rich get richer and the poor and the middle class are hurt.
Yeah. You know, I got a comment the other day from someone who just read the book According to Plan. And this is a person that's pretty up to date and connecting all the dots. But he's like, why didn't you tell me about this book earlier? He goes, I just read this. This is the simplest explanation of what's really going on that I've ever seen. And that was not your recent book, but the one prior to that, but so relevant to what's going on today.
Yeah, no, Dr. Carson wrote a beautiful foreword for that. It's a book I'm very proud of. But, you know, other problems, the EMP or solar flare, you know, we could lose all our electricity. You mentioned losing your cell phone service and how tragic that was for a few days. What happens if the electricity goes out for a year?
Well, I'm going to have a hot water heater that uses less energy. So that's the good news. When, you know, that would be a lot of good if I don't have any power to it at all, won't it?
Yeah, well, your electric hot water that uses less energy because it's more efficient means it'll go out in 7 years instead of 27 years or whatever. Yeah. I mean, the appliances our parents had seemed to last a whole lot longer than the appliance made
they
today.
Did, and that's not helping the wealth gap any. As soon as you start to think you got a little money set aside, the refrigerator went out. Now the washing machine and dryer went out. What happened to that Maytag guy that used to be so bored? Doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah, no. Here's the reality, people. We're facing some difficult times, but it's not unprecedented. That's the message I want you to get. In World War II, we had a great global depression. We had gold confiscation of the 30s. We had hyperinflation in Germany. We had the rise of Adolf Hitler. It was a very difficult time. And yet, if you watch the movie Darkest Hour, you can come out with hope because they faced it head on. Mm-hmm. They didn't shy from it. They appealed to the people. The people joined with Churchill and the government, and they fought back. Before that, we had some tough times, whether it's the Old Testament, you go through when they turned from God, essentially turned from them and foreign powers came in and invaded. Foreign powers drug the kids off to Babylon and everything else. In the early church, there was persecution. In the Middle Ages, there was plague and horrific things. Revolutionary War was a very hard time where liberties were being trampled upon. The Civil War, where brother fought against brother. And even in our generation, Mike, we've had a Cold War, Vietnam, student protests, Watergate, inflation. These were all happening when we were kids. Mm-hmm. And yet we survived them and went on when we returned to the roots of the Constitution and Judeo-Christian values.
Absolutely. Thank you, Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, Reagan's quote. We say it all the time. You want to read that, Mike?
Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same. Or one day we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in the United States where men were free. Well, I can't say that. I hear Reagan's voice in my head. And I'm like, man, I did not do that justice. I need Ronald Reagan to say that right now.
The point is so valuable. Is that every generation faces an existential crisis, a threat to freedom. It's our time to battle. It's our kids' time. We're there with them. We're going to stand up. Pirate Money Radio is here to help you face that fight. It's not a cause for despair. By the way, people ask questions. You know, we covered all that long list of what about EMP? What about this? What about that? If you have a question, you should send it in to AFR@piratemoneyradio.com. Email it, AFR@piratemoneyradio.com. Here's a question. Mike, should we be preppers and head for the hills?
Well, sometimes it certainly feels like that might not be a bad idea. But, I think what I'm excited about, we're going to get to a real plan at the end of the segment here, or in the next segment. We don't have to feel like we're alone. The power is of people working together, coming together to make a difference out there. And that's what we're doing on Pirate Money Radio, Economic War Room, NSIC, all the different things we're working right now.
Yeah, but the world has romanticized end time survival. Here's a quote from Forbes January this year. It says, when it comes to end time survival, viewers can't get enough. Want to know what's on the mind of Americans and others around the world? Just study what they're watching. Netflix has put out shows on prepping. One trend is unmistakable, a viewer obsession with apocalyptic survival. There's this Obama-produced Leave the World Behind about the aftermath of a cyber attack. And then there's this new Civil War movie. All of these things are designed to have an apocalyptic, everything's going to the wrong direction feel to them, while it seems like they're causing it to go the wrong direction and they're trying to force us down a certain path. Here's another one, Reuters. U.S. prepper culture diversifies amid fear of disaster and political unrest. Researchers say the number of preppers has doubled in size to about 20 million since 2017. Much of that growth is from minorities and people considered left of center politically.
Interesting, on the left of center, isn't it?
That is interesting. The good news is that people on the right of center still believe in principles, the Judeo-Christian values, and maybe have hope.
We have a hope, and those movies you talked about earlier aren't presenting hope. They're setting up fear, probably in hopes of their savior might be a bigger government. We got a program that's going to help you get through this. Don't worry, we got you covered. But we know that's not the answer.
No, the answer is God's not giving you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind, 2 Timothy 1:7, and not to just go blindly on, Proverbs 27:12, wise man sees trouble coming and prepares for it. A fool goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. And the Bible does talk about being prepared. There's this story of the 10 virgins from Matthew 25, where it basically there were 10 virgins. And half of the virgins had prepared oil in their lamps to go out and meet the bridegroom, and half of them were unprepared, no oil in their lamps, and they were called the foolish ones. And they demanded, give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out. And the wise one said, no, there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves. But they were on their way to buy the oil. The bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went with him to the wedding banquet. And the door was shut. And the others said, Lord, Lord, open the door for us. But he replied, truly, I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch. We've got some lessons from this Matthew 25 story that we're going to cover with you and how you can be prepared and not face the door being shut in your face right after this break.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
And my good friend Mike Carter from the Economic War Room. Mike's joining me here, and we were talking about the parable of the 10 virgins from Matthew 25. You know, five wise virgins prepared, five foolish ones did not, five had oil, five did not. What lessons can we learn from that? Number one, you should be prepared. But number two, don't take away from that that if things go wrong and you've got food in your house and you know the power's out, there's a flood or whatever, oh no, you should have prepared, and tell them that's not the message of this parable, is it?
Not at all. I'll tell you kind of a funny story. My father-in-law was an electrical contractor. He put in this amazing big generator in this guy's house. And it was a big job, so he was happy to get it. But after he installed it, he goes, well, now that you got this great generator, what you need to do is you better invest in the best blinds that you have possible. Because if you're the only one that has power and the light's on and it gets to this point of something really bad happening, you're just going to attract people like bugs over here.
Yeah, that's probably true. Yeah, because people who don't prepare, that is a lesson. People who don't prepare are going to be, hey, I don't want to be left out. But here's something for Bible believers. Of course you should share your earthly things. Of course. The representation of oil in the lamp in this story is not a power generator. It's not a physical thing. It is a spiritual thing, because the bridegroom is not a physical bridegroom. It's the Lord Jesus. It's a spiritual bridegroom. And your relationship with God, you need to get it in order before he comes back. That's the message of the story. The message of the story is not, don't share your stuff, and if you didn't save up, you get punished. The message of it is, you got to get a relationship with the Lord as soon as you possibly can. And to prove that, 1 John 3:17, it says, this is New King James Version, but whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? So we're not talking about, in fact, if you want to be prepared, and you should, and put up some food, maybe a generator or whatever, be prepared to share it, because you can get to a person's heart by showing them love with physical things that would allow them to see the love of God and come into the kingdom of Christ.
And part of that being prepared means if you live in a community and you have neighbors, be thinking about these things ahead of time so you're not the only one that is prepared. And again, if you can position this from a standpoint of preparedness and not prepperness, standpoint of logic and reason and compassion, and saying, hey, if something happens where the grid were to go down, whether that's through some type of solar flare or through a planned attack, it would be good to have some things on reserve. And we can do better if we're doing that together.
Or if a dam bursts, or if there's a tornado, or if electricity hits a generator or something. Yeah, we need to be prepared, and we need to be prepared to help our neighbor. And with our money, too. We talk about Pirate Money Radio. We talk about money a lot, and money's important, but we need to learn to use it as a tool and not an object for desire. Now, there are three things, only three things you can do with your money. You can give it, you can spend it, or you can invest it. Here at Pirate Money Radio, we work to explain solutions that support all three areas in a way that promotes liberty, security, and values. Patriot Mobile, a mobile phone company, supports the Pirate Money Radio program. Patriot Mobile uses U.S. carriers, including AT&T, Sprint, and T-Mobile, and they operate on both Apple and Android phones. More information about the Economic War Room and Patriot Mobile is available at piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. That's piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. And when you learn more about the Economic War Room, you'll learn more about some of the things we've done in the past, like my book, Game Plan, which has some very basic thoughts on how you can prepare for economic difficulties, a list of things and products and things that you might hope have at your home ready to go. I mean, we had our daughter come home from college and she said, "Hey, Dad, do you have a spare toothpaste I can borrow?" And, you know, I'm not a prepper, but being prepared, I had a spare toothpaste ready for her to go and then realized that was my last one and ran to the CVS and packed up because I wanted five more in case people need toothpaste.
Yeah.
What if people need food? What if people need water? What if people need, you know, extra dollar or two? We should be prepared for
what
that.
What if they need a toothbrush? I hate to share a toothbrush.
Oh, no. I would have gone out in the middle of the night to get her a toothbrush. I've got a half dozen of those ready to go at home as well.
But you have some good news. There's a report that can help with this. And in your book, Game Plan, I want to talk a little bit about that as well, because, you know, a lot of people, we're pirate money. We talk about money and investing and so forth. But in pirate money, there's an outline there that would be great if they have a financial advisor just to kind of walk through, you know, if an inflationary environment, these are things you should think about. If it's deflationary, these are things you should think about. But having that game plan that our listeners are working through with their financial advisors out there and how to be prepared financially.
Yeah, it's a 10-year-old book, but I think it held up pretty well. But beyond that, you remember when we had Rich Higgins in the Economic War Room? Now, Rich Higgins, he's passed away. He was a friend. Yeah. He died during COVID from complications of COVID, which is very sad. But Rich was a friend. In fact, he's the guy that hired me to work in the Defense Department. He worked in the Trump administration at the National Security Council. He wrote a book called The Memo, 20 Years Inside the Deep State, Fighting for America First. And it's basically a memo to President Trump warning him that the deep state was out to get him. And he got laughed off by the major media. They just laughed at, oh, there's no deep state and they're not trying to get President Trump. Well, their comments didn't age well, but his book, The Memo, actually aged pretty well.
In fact, there's just some news out I saw on deep state and some backup as it relates to what actually happened. Information being held back from Trump because they're afraid he was going to share it and so forth.
Oh, yeah. Deep state was working against him. There are even rumors that the Biden administration ordered them to go in and get those boxes that they, first off, they demanded that Trump pick them up from one government agency where they were being held, and he didn't know what to do with them, put them in Mar-a-Lago, and then they raided Mar-a-Lago to find him. I don't know if that's true or not, but there clearly is a deep state at work. And when Rich came in, it was in the midst of the last series of riots we had during COVID, the Black Lives Matter riots, and he came in and he produced for us an Insurrection and Violence, a Citizen's Guide, a Special Economic Battle Plan. I opened that up this week and read it. It is perfect to help understand what's going on in our world today.
You know, and it's amazing. I looked at that as well, and I was like, I almost forgot about the Black Lives Matter movement. It's amazing how much in a few years you're onto the topic of the day. But what we're seeing now with these riots and what's going on is so similar to that. Before that, it was Occupy Wall Street. All these things were orchestrated and really a narrative out there.
Yeah. But this Citizen's Guide, our Special Economic Battle Plan, it was relevant 3 years ago when we first produced it. It's very relevant today. It's great practical advice. It tells you the kind of food to have in your house. It tells you, you know, if you need to get police help during an emergency, how to do that. It has a lot of practical advice in it. And we're going to give that to anybody who wants it. If you want more information about that full report, Insurrection and Violence, A Citizen's Guide, Special Economic Battle Plan, it's available at piratemoneyradio.com/report. If you want to get a copy of this Insurrection and Violence, A Citizen's Guide Battle Plan, go to piratemoneyradio.com/report for more information. What do you do if a riot breaks out in your city or on your campus and your kid's there? How do you work with local law enforcement? What first aid should be using? How do you communicate if your cell towers are down? What if there's a power outage, a water outage, food outage? So this is an important report.
And this is a free report, and it's practical. It's not something where it's like, okay, if you get this report, we're going to make up some fearful thing and then tell you how you can prevent it. This is a real-world, proactive report that's going to be beneficial to folks.
Oh, absolutely. It talks about situational awareness, how that you understand what's going on, how to defend your home if you need to defend your home, if people are trying to break in, supplies, pet supplies that you need. It's got a whole checklist, you know, tools and miscellaneous supplies, cash, how much cash you should consider having, whether or not you would want to have tarp for emergency shelter, hygiene, first aid. You know, I'm just flowing through here, a bicycle perhaps in case you needed to get somewhere and your car wasn't working. Really good practical advice that you hope you don't need. But I remember that in case of emergency, break glass that we had in our elementary school. I always wanted to break that glass. I wanted to see what would happen. But this is, in case of emergency, you want to have this report lying around where you can pick it up, and it really has practical steps of things you can do.
And for those that were driving, what was that website again?
That was piratemoneyradio.com/report if you would like to look for more information about this.
Yeah.
So I think it's practical, but I want to conclude with this. 5 points. Number one, the threats are real, but this is nothing new. In history, throughout history, we've seen struggles and problems. The calm periods that we've had, that's the new thing. But throughout history, there have been problems. Conclusion number two, you shouldn't act based on fear because God's not given us a spirit of fear. Number three, wisdom says be prepared. And, you know, that's it. When I was in the Boy Scouts, that was the motto, be prepared. Mm-hmm. Number four, our goal is to help families and others. So we can help our families and others. That's a reason to be prepared. And it is a willingness to share. And when you share that, you're sharing love, and that makes God happy. And number five, our hope is in Jesus. So we got to start with some things that we're dealing with. We got to start in, and there's five things here. Start inside your own heart. You need the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Start with your family, move to your community, then your state, and then the nation. I think Pirate Money can help. Pirate Money Radio, Pirate Money that we talk about, transactional gold and silver. It's a hidden clause in the Constitution. Mike, you've been working on that. What are some things that people can do themselves? You can make your voice heard. You can vote. You can stay informed. And most important, you can pray. We got to pray and repent on behalf of our nation, just like Daniel did. We need to believe and show that we trust God more than we trust our bank account. And then we need to share the good news. This is an unprecedented time when people are upset, concerned, worried. It's a great time to share the gospel as seen with 9/11 when people turn to Jesus. This is a crisis. It's a wake-up call for us. Will we hit the snooze button? Stay tuned to Pirate Money Radio. We'll see you next week. God bless.